Having just had the memorial service for my father-in-law this week on Monday, I was reminded once again of the power of love. The love of children for their father, for grandfather, the love of wife for her husband of almost 60 years, a giving, caretaking, self-sacrificing love, especially at the end, and caring, Anne's caring for Ken. Difficult and true, challenging and devoted, an enduring love, that love that we just sang about, that wondrous thing. And watching my father-in-law, an intellectually brilliant, emotionally grounded, kind person, having a rare integrity, watching him die a death of integrity, reminded me of the loss of my own parents, my own sources, if you will. So in the spirit of today's readings, I want to talk about the act of remembering and realigning. Remembering and realigning. Ken, my father-in-law, the last quarter of his life at least, had serious sight issues, was partially blind, but he never lost his vision. He always was aligned with what was important. I remember in 2002 going back to Ohio to visit my mother and father, when my mother's Alzheimer's was getting worse, and my father, as an 80-year-old, was struggling to care for her. Her anxiety was increasing. Alzheimer's, as many of you know, is a form of dementia which affects up to 10% of people 65 years old, up to 50% 85 years old. And it's the steady decline of intellectual function, thinking and reasoning, remembering, and the disease begins gradually. The afflicted begin forgetting recent events and having difficulty performing even familiar tasks. And as the disease advances, so does the confusion and the impairment of judgment, being able to have a conversation, following directions eventually, as we know, as many of you know, the person is unable to care for themselves. And when this happens, the loved ones, the family, is challenged and suffers from anxiety and concern, trying to keep their loved one comfortable and safe with their waning independence, worried about the future, having a sense of loss. Again, many of you have experienced this, and some of you will experience it, unfortunately, in the future. So it makes me wonder what possible help could come from our faith, what possible help could come from millennially ancient scripture readings. But when we look at today's readings, for example, we are reminded again and again of the wisdom and the help given in sacred words. Even the first three readings, Exodus, Psalm 100, and Paul's letter to the Romans serve as a reminder to us of what's important. Quote, "Remind the people of God," God says to Moses, "how I delivered them from slavery and oppression in Egypt, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." It reminds me of a loving parent, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I think that's helpful. No? or the poetry of Psalm 100, a reminder of God's steadfast ways, that God is merciful, God's mercy is everlasting, God's faithfulness endures from age to age. That's helpful, that enduring presence. Likewise, Paul reminds the Romans that God's love is unconditional. It does not depend on the capability of the one loved. That's helpful. And last but not least, in today's gospel, it is indeed a New Testament to Jesus' deep, deep compassion for those in need. Quote, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." That's helpful. In the case of my mother, for example, the family realized that everything was changing because my mother kept the family together. She was the core. She was the one who reminded us how to care for each other. She reminded us of birthdays. And maybe you should call your sibling and explain this or that. Maybe your mother was the same way. But there's no doubt that the family, in the midst of the loss, could benefit from Jesus' message in today's gospel. Jesus saying, it's not just me who must respond to those who are harassed, or those who are helpless. It's not just me, it's you too. You are disciples. You are called as well. Give yourself and do it with gratitude. Every Sunday, Scripture reminds us of two simple things, really. That God loves us and we're invited to respond to that love. It's an amazing invitation. Every week, we're reminded. And somehow we need the reminder. God loves us. And how are we going to respond? Even though my mother, or someone you care about with dementia, was becoming more confused, and it was difficult for her to hold on to her own experience of love, we remembered her long pilgrimage of embodying love, her pilgrimage of compassion, to caring for her family, caring for friends, even strangers. And so we were reminded that in spite of her loss of memory, or because of her loss of memory, we needed to remember even more, even better, that love, that experience. Those memories informed us and informed our response to the need, to the difficult situation, because we knew it would only get worse. So that journey, that movement is part of a sacred tradition, according to Scripture. Remembering a steadfast love. And in that renewed awareness, being re-inspired to respond as best we can, to live compassionately. The awareness of compassion. Because we're invited to be people of compassion. In the Exodus reading, we're reminded to be part of a covenant of compassion. Right? Moses reminding the people that this is not a legal document. This is not a legal agreement. It's a voluntary agreement. It's something that you're invited to participate in. Will you be part of this covenant of compassion? Will you be compassionate? And the root of the word used for compassion in the gospel, for what Jesus feels, literally means bowel. It means gut. The belief at the time was your passions were in the gut. Gut, sometimes we use the term gut feeling, right? And it's this feeling that moves us beyond pity when we see somebody we love hurting. Or even when we see somebody we don't know hurting. We're moved beyond pity. We are inspired to do something. We want to act. Even if we can't fix it, we want to do something to help. So what do I learn from today's readings? That when I feel something in my gut, even if it's hard and difficult, if it's challenging, even if it points to something overwhelming that I have no control over, or on a larger scale, when I look at the world and I'm overwhelmed by the divisions and the violence, the terrorism, the greed, I can't stop with just that gut feeling. Because that gut feeling is an invitation. It's an invitation when we feel that. In the midst of worry, we're invited to be people of compassion at that moment. That gut feeling is an invitation to respond, to be participants in a covenant with God, to act in the Spirit of Christ with concerted acts of compassion and justice. Because when Jesus talks about doing justice, it's about doing something. It's not just about pity. It's not just about feeling bad. We're invited to the next step. And that's where we enter into compassion and we become part of the good news of the gospel. When we're reminded that frustration is not our ultimate reality, anger is not our ultimate reality, anxiety, confusion, the loss of memory, alienation, fear is not our ultimate reality. Love is our ultimate reality. The love of God, the love that we experience with each other, the love that we have inside of us, that is our ultimate reality. And even in difficult times, even if our models for love were or are imperfect, we are called to respond in the Spirit of Christ. And there's great promise in that response, to do our best to love. So when I looked at my mother those many years ago, when she couldn't remember the names of her grandchildren, and when I felt like this is not my mother, my gut feeling moved me to a place to remember the love that she has, to remember that even if she couldn't express that love was still present, that love was there, and that love is eternal. And we all participate. We all have received that love, and we all participate in that love. No matter what happens, we can call on that love to strengthen us, to do what we can, and to spread the love to others. For if it is true that according to today's psalm, that God is merciful and steadfast, and God's presence is everlasting, we are called to participate in that same amazing grace, to be steadfast, to be merciful ourselves. And that changes everything in the present and the future. So even when my mother worsened and couldn't make sense of loving or being loved, I could hold on to that love and live into that love and keep it going. And that's what we're all invited to do, whatever we're facing, whatever challenges are in our lives, whatever pain and suffering is before us, to be as loving as possible, to transform and change, to do justice, to help others, those especially harassed and helpless, to know that we have the strength to make a difference. And that is good news. That is gospel. That is faith in action. May it be so. In the name of that love, let us remember to remember who we are and to realign our speech, our thoughts, our feelings, our actions in the spirit of that love, and to make a difference in any way that we can. That is hopeful. In the name of Christ, amen.